The following episode is brought to you by Rorschach. Who is Rorschach? To find out, visit hearustalk.com/who is he.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. We've got a whole goddamn gaggle of shit to talk about tonight, don't we? I'm asking someone, like somebody's gonna fucking respond. But if there were somebody here to respond, they would say,
"Well, most definitely, Ken."
That's how I would command them to respond to me. Most definitely. And then a nice pause, a respectful pause. And then Ken. No DJ New Style, no Mr. No Sir. We're on that kind of level right now. Thank you for tuning in. DJNewStyleShow.com is the website where you can download this that you've already gotten there. So congratulations. And if you're not subscribed, guess what? Guess what else you have to do? Guess what the fuck else is on your plate today? I don't know, shoveling, chipping ice, taking an hour of shit from the wife, pleading with your boss not to send you out into the fucking, the wilderness, the economic wilderness that is joblessness, subscribing to the show? Have you not done it yet? Well, guess what? You should. DJNewStyleShow.com, that's the place to go to do everything. Like, if you, for example, if you wanted to learn how to just have a podcast completely derailed because a cockapoo jumped on your back, guess what? We've got you covered, because right now that's exactly what the fuck happened. My dog jumped on my back, and I have no fucking idea exactly what the fuck to say. Wow, holy shit. I completely just spaced out. I think I have blood somewhere in my fucking stool. Like, you know that, there's that moment where you're going to the bathroom, and then you crap, and you're like, you're thinking of all the shit you have going on, and the shit you're gonna do when you get out of the bathroom, and you look in the bowl, and you see red, and then you forget everything. Why do I feel wetness? Okay, it's his paws, he was outside. I thought I was getting pissed on. I'm sorry. I'm cool that my dog sits here on the chair behind me, kinda like, just checking shit out. But when I started to feel wetness, honestly, I thought I was being pissed on by my dog. I've really got a fucking hard time tonight. I'm trying to be nice, promote the fucking website, trying to get people to subscribe, listen to this shit. And on top of that, I can't sell a fucking bottle of goddamn barbecue sauce to the people in the fucking chat room. This guy, Cripple Creek Barbecue, listens as often as he can. Look, he's a family man. He makes fucking barbecue sauce, and none of you pricks can throw a fucking link in his way to get some fucking garlic pepper shit to put on your ribs. None of you can do that. You can't throw the guy a fucking bone. Meanwhile, I haven't purchased one bottle yet. I'm just letting you know. I'm sure it's excellent sauce. Doesn't have any of that fucking aspartame. I don't know why I've chosen to target this guy. It's just that I recognize him. I follow him on Twitter, and I know what he's about. And then the first thing that came into my mind was to yell at him for making something that he's passionate about. I don't know why I decided to cut him down like that. Maybe it's because I've got a lot going on, people. I've got a lot going on in my life. I'm busy. I'm making things happen. I'm shaking. And yes, I'm fucking baking. How about that? And I'm waiting for the bullet to be fired into my brain for saying I'm shaking and I'm baking. I'm actually tied to a wooden post with a cigarette in my fucking mouth and a dirty rag that someone used to check the oil on their fucking stolen Jeep tied around my eyes, waiting to be fucking shot. It was Valentine's Day yesterday. And, I hope everybody was romantic. I hope everybody, had all their fucking romantic wishes and hopes met and fulfilled. I hope you finally got the balls to talk to that little fucking bitch with the upturned nose. Wouldn't look at you. Wouldn't even fucking think of you. You're over there doing your own fucking thing. And occasionally you catch a glimpse of this fucking bitch. And that's the day that you decide, you know what, I'm going to make my move. I'm going to write something down on a heart with glitter on it. And I'm going to pour my guts out to this complete fucking stranger who would wake up every morning and pray that she doesn't remember you. I'm going to do that. I'm going to write it down. And I'm gonna slip it somewhere where she'll find it. And I'm gonna also write from and then not my name. It's easily the most fucked up goddamn holiday ever. I've overheard some conversations of plans that people have had for Valentine's Day, plans that people were in the progress of making, and the single people always interest me the most. Having not been single for quite a while, the Valentine's Day thing, you do it, you have the fucking emotion behind it, you give the gift, you write the card, you spend time, you do all the shit that they want you to pay for, that the jewelers and shit want you to pay for, you do it all, whatever. But eventually it's really just a continuation of all the other fucking times with a red envelope attached. But for the single people, this is go time. This is where you have to seal shit in. This is where you have to make stuff happen. Like I just described the guy who's pining. Not even just like occasionally like, you know, blanking his mind out and jerking off to the woman he stalks. But like the guy who's like in a fucking cubicle farm and occasionally sees someone brisk by the goddamn Poland Spring water cooler, and maybe she's wearing a fucking a scarf or some shit, and that catches his eye, and he's like, oh, she's perfect. So, you know, he buys into this fucking Valentine's Day shit, and he tries to reach out, and usually. You can tell based on, like, I would love to see a random selection of cards sent from single people to people that they admire, because I would estimate that one out of every 10 is written in such a way that they don't look pathetic. I think that the key to writing any Valentine's Day card, if you're not already involved, is to... This is the perceived key. It's not like, dude, bro, you know how I pull so much fucking snatch? I do this. No, this is what people do when they're lonely and all that. They write just like, just wanted to wish you a happy Valentine's Day or something. They try to play it really cool. Like, I saw this on somebody's Facebook, and I won't name names. Sent Valentine to longtime crush wrote, just wanted to wish you a happy Valentine's Day or whatever. Still waiting for a response. Like, what the fuck are you expecting? Like, it's been so ingrained in women's heads that you have to get something, and it has to be something that's just built up for fucking nothing. And okay, I confess, that was Casey. She did write that. But, you know, she does have a concussion, and you can't blame her for, you know, putting that on Crazed's wall. Dear Seth, I've never met a man who could look straight and and completely to the right at the same time. What is it about your mystical suave ways that makes me swoon so. Is it your triple XL sweater with the burn holes in it? Or is it the fact that you're a complete goddamn creep? Is it the fact that you look like those twins in the baby diaper and bib from that fucking terrible Chevy Chase movie? Bobo and Little Devil. Is it the fact that you look like Bobo and or Little Devil from Nothing But Trouble? Thank you. I needed a little bit of a cajoling or a fucking a pushing with the title. And the chat room always on Hear Us Talk, Ustream, always filled with just goddamn fucking helpfulness. People who help. And this fucking dog is in that room right now, helping. I'm just so enthused. That's why I had to scream. So someone I worked with, I overheard his conversation, his assessment of Valentine's Day. He completely, is on the train of, dude, a fucking Hallmark holiday. And it is. It completely is. But he's in a new relationship. Relatively new. Less than a year. Over 6 months. He's in that, I still need to do things. So, I need to not be me for a little bit. That's the perceived course of action. You have to be the somebody you think they want so that you can wear them down and then eventually be your terrible self. Well, he's in that zone. And I overheard something that, is so fucking common. He's like, dude, the girl I'm with, my lady, my lady's the coolest, dude. She's like, don't buy me anything. And, I mean, like, that's usually followed up with a, you know what that means, fellas? Don't buy me anything. Everybody knows that don't buy me anything means you, if you don't fucking buy me something, I'll do one of three things. I will give you the silent treatment for a complete week. One. Two, everything you do will be wrong, regardless of whether or not it's right. And I will make your life miserable and make everything extra complicated. Or three, I'll do two of the above. And then every year there will be a residual argument based on the happenings of this year. or whenever I hear the fucking word Valentine. Or whenever I hear somebody else fucking up on Valentine's, I bring it up to my friends now. That you fucked up. I said I didn't want anything and you didn't get me anything. Yeah, they never mean it. They never fucking mean it. And the fact is, the advertisements they put to us for the dozen roses, the candies. I was listening to Hate Us Talk. He brought up the chocolate covered strawberries. They're being fucking advertised more than I've ever heard. All of these things. It doesn't mean anything. Like, you can just get anything that's red and write something nice and hand it. And it's something, and that's it. It's really, you just give, you have, as long as you give anything, it's completely fine. And if they take exception with what you give, then you know that's not, you just need to get the fuck out. He gave me a fucking rose? I just got a fucking rose. Where's my fucking jewelry? Where's the Coach bag? Eat it, bitch. I don't know. I ran out of words. Like, I wanted to, I really wanted to stick it to this imaginary fucking broad I had in my head, and all I could say was, eat it, bitch. That's how little I developed that character in my head. That's how little I invested in that little statement. But you got to do something. And every year I do something. I maybe flowers, maybe dinner. The typical fucking standard issue shit. I'm not as cutting edge of a man to get an insect and name it after Amanda and do that. I'm not as on the fucking leading edge of innovation as far as Valentine's Day goes. I'm stuck in the rose dinner chocolate goddamn vortex I could now, you know what? 5 years from now, I'll probably be naming cockroaches. That seems to be the thing to do. 5 years from now, I'll be doing it. Just like, you know, I got into Joe Strummer like yesterday. So everybody who's cool is already fucking done with it, and they've moved on to everything that they like now that I won't hear of in another decade. But I need more time. I need lead time. I have to see the wave and then jump on the tail end of it. So I got Amanda some flowers and some fucking chocolate-covered strawberries, and I sent them. This is the first year I've ever sent anything to her office. When you do that, you think, like, oh, people, there's going to be some big fucking display. Like, oh, I wonder who this is for. And then, like, some guy with a fucking DHL cap just sets it down with, like, a little smirk. Maybe even, like, a wink, like it's the fucking 50s, and he whistles as he's walking out. And then she, like, looks at it, flips the card open, someone tries to peek, and she's like, no, that's for me, I'm gonna read it. And then there, all the other cunts are fucking jealous, and the fucking dudes are like, oh, shit, I didn't fucking do that. I didn't do that for my fucking girl. And then everybody's fucking happy. She's happy. Everybody's impressed with what went on. I mean, flowers to her desk, even where most people hate being at their desk. Here is this wonderful token of fucking love and Valentine's Day and you know, debt. And it's right here. And so I did that first time. Sent it to her office. And she had a trip and wasn't in her office all fucking day. And when they were delivered, they were given to some fucking security guard who basically just handed them to somebody who just put them on her desk. And that's it. And nobody gave a shit. And I asked her, oh, how are the things? They're very nice. Like, I don't know how I constructed this world of fucking... Of such, I'm trying to think of something. Grandiosity? I don't know. Is that it? Like, that everybody's going to be impressed that I logged into a website and declared that flowers should be sent to a fucking place where Excel is used. I don't know how I got it in my head that this is going to be such a big fucking thing. But it wasn't. And the chocolates. This was gonna be the thing that tipped it over the edge. The chocolate covered strawberries. Now Valentine's, you got your flowers. Everybody's fucking fainted on the ground. They still haven't woken up because flowers came to a desk, right? They're all impressed. Well, picture this: February 15th. No one gets a gift then, right? Nobody. This would be fucking insane. Another delivery. The next day. Who is this princely man you are with? So I sent it for today, the chocolate-covered strawberries. I wrote a little note like, hey, enjoy these. Have a little treat. You know, some dumb fucking note. Look, I put more shit in there that I'm going to tell you, all right? You know, you're not reading me your little fucking shit-talking baby fucking talk goddamn... inside nickname notes. You're not telling me those. I'm not telling you mine. But you got the gist. Little cutesy fucking note I put on these fucking things. And she tells me today she's not going into work. And I said, you're going into fucking work. You're going in today. There's a fucking surprise. There's a surprise of brewing. So basically I had to tell her, I'm like, oh, no, you have to go in because there's a surprise. Oh, really? What is it? And it's just just chocolate-covered strawberries. You can't tell somebody, hey, no, this is important that you go to the place that you hate going to pay bills and shit. But because you have to, there's a surprise waiting for you. You can't give them a whole day to expect a surprise and have it be commercially chocolate-covered fruit. You just can't fucking do that. So I had to tell her immediately. And any luster that effort had was just completely fucking gone. Yeah, so that was Valentine's Day. And I don't need to do this, but I felt like I should do it. I felt as though I was coerced into having to get something. So I did. And I was going to even... I was going to... Listen, I had this whole fucking plan. I was going to be... I was going to give the best Valentine's Day ever. You get the fucking flowers. And then it's time for dinner. And what happens at dinner time? Do we go somewhere? No. No, no. Why would we go somewhere when we've got this chicken in the oven? Check this shit out. I got chicken I slathered Cripple Creek barbecue all over it. No, I didn't. But I should have. Just like you cheap fuck should have. Open up your fucking wallet for this guy. He's got mouths to feed. You fucking cheap. Now listen, I haven't paid for the sauce, but I hear it's very good. My goal is like, well, no, we won't have to. I don't have a reservation. I forgot to make one. I can't believe you forgot. You know what, possibly? I didn't get one because, ka-chink, look in the oven, bitch. There's all kinds of potatoes and fucking chicken pieces. That's what I was going to do. And as I'm going to the grocery store to get shit, I call just to see how much time I have. And she answers, and she doesn't sound like she's in a car. She's got a bit of a commute. I say, so, hey, where are you? I'm at our house. Oh. So at this point, she had seen the fucking flowers, and obviously she answered the phone, so she was able to catch her breath. She was not completely whisked away by the display of several flowers in a vase. And now I had to tell her I need to go get groceries so I can prepare a surprise meal for you. So I had to basically tell her, like, oh, I was gonna cook. And she's like, that's okay, we'll do something else. So now I have the rest of my commute to just scream and be pissed, because I'm like, I fucked this up too. I fucked this up. I fucked up the first ever office delivery of any kind of gift. You can't do it. You can't fuck that up the first time. So I get to the place. I open up the door, and I smell food. And I look in the kitchen, and Amanda's wearing a fucking apron. And I look on the goddamn table, and there's fucking linguine and clams, a salad, garlic, this kind of fucking awesome bread. Now, I was going to say garlic bread, but she got some really good bread with cheese and fucking jalapeno sauce that I slathered in Cripple Creek fucking onion roasted chutney. I don't know the flavors, people, but I hear it's very good sauce. Okay, Cripple Creek. I hear it's fucking fantastic. But it was a whole meal she put together. She beat me to it. And it was fucking fantastic. Now look, it's just fucking pasta, right? Is that what you're going to say? Like, yeah, it's not a meal. She just cut some bread and boiled some water. And did she make her own sauce? No, she opened a fucking jar, or worse yet, a can. Well, yeah, so what? All right? I ate it. You fuck, it was good. It was good. I hope you had a good time at your shitty fucking Valentine's Day reservation where you're at the table and it's dimly lit and you're next to other couples that are both wearing red and one of them is having a better time than the other. And the entire staff hates you because they're not with their loved ones or they don't have one and you're staying too long. I hope you enjoyed that little exchange. Try staying a little bit after dessert and asking for an extra cup of fucking coffee. The 6:30s are coming in! Wait. Eh, whatever. Fucking just go with it. Just, you know what? Move that time up 3 hours, okay? If anyone wants to edit that and change it to the 9:30s are coming in, it might have been a better line. And if you take exception with, well, who would be in there at any earlier than 6:30? I mean, most people were. You know, we get it. I'm sorry. I fucking apologize. I ruined your entire evening by blowing a fucking time in a shitty joke. It was great. And she made too much, so packed it away, put it in one of the bowls and shoved it in, and I took it to work today to eat for lunch. And it was so fucking good that I took it out of the goddamn refrigerator, brought it over, and put it on my fucking laptop that I'm supposed to be working on, and ate it out of the fucking container. Like, the entire amount. This is like a... There's enough for two people. I ate the entire fucking bowl of it, cold, right out of the fucking refrigerator, in the bowl it was stored in, to be divvied out. And I got fucking grease and shit everywhere, and I didn't give a fuck. People came by my door to ask me a question, and they gave me the same kind of reaction you'd give somebody, like, if you realized, like, oh my god, they're in there, like, fucking. Like, you go and knock, hey, dude, let me borrow your... Oh, sorry. Sorry. I didn't know. I didn't know. And then they do that back away with both hands up, like you have a gun pointed at them. It must have looked horrendous. I mean, I was really into it. It was really good. And I cleaned it up, and I wiped the bread in the fucking... What are you eating? What are you fucking eating? I wiped the bread all over the fucking bowl, cleaned it out. Very delicious. So, you know, Valentine's Day, if you're in a new relationship, I'm sorry. You know, you have some decisions to make. Do you want to carry on with this? Is she upset that you gave her some handmade shit? You know, then maybe you want to reconsider the whole fucking venture. My Coach bag. He didn't get me a Coach bag. Or do you want to eventually have a fucking plate of something made for you? It's nice. It's nice for a goddamn change to have something given to you on fucking Valentine's Day. I like that. I like that. And if you're wondering, I didn't warm the food up because I refused to use the microwave at work. Before I go any further, I have to say something here. We're talking and we're communicating on the internet here, this whole thing where my voice is being transmitted to you. And if you're watching it live, you're seeing my face. Well, imagine if you could do that with, I don't know, a million people, a bazillion people. Well, you probably can if you could get half a bazillion to register on ICU2. That's ICU2.com. It's video conferencing software. It's fucking simple. You go to ICU2.com, download it. It's free to try. Okay? Install it. Pick your fucking name like, I don't know, Double Fists. Chain of Brown Pearls 72, because there's a ton of those. Or you could, usurp Pal Talk's Self Suck Man by registering Self Suck Man on ICU2. And preventing him from capturing his true identity. That's what we like to call username squatting. You can do that on ICU2. That's ICU2.com. Hey, 2009, they were at the top of their game. Did they have to cater to the politics of the People's Choice Award for the last 2 years? No. You know why? They're above it. ICU2.com. Please try it out. Big news coming from them, by the way. As an insider, I can't tell you. But I can just say, there's some big news a brewing at fucking ICU2. ICU2.com. And also, you know, maybe get a bottle of Cripple Creek sauce, put it all over your fucking genitals, turn your cam on ICU2. You know, cheap thrills. That's what it's about. It's about cheap fucking thrills. Mushrooms and fucking garlic and barbecue spices. Crafted by one man. And put into a bottle. And you know what? It's magic. You can purchase that too. But this read is not for him because he doesn't pay me. This is for ICU2. I'm saying that you could buy Cripple Creek sauce and enjoy it while on cam on ICU2. Just not on your food at work, though. Because it's wrong to do that. You can't bring food in. That like you can't go to hello, I went to Nirvana. You can't go to Nirvana, the local Indian joint, and have some saucy, spicy, smelly piece of shit and enjoy it so much that you bring in the remains the next day and then heat it up in the communal microwave. Because you are an asshole that won't cover it, and it'll explode in little fucking microbes and molecules of this smelly shit will get caught in the little vent area. And once it's behind that plastic, every time shit heats up, we're going to smell your fucking Nirvana goddamn lunch. Okay? Just because you didn't put a paper plate over the fucking thing because you didn't have a lid. I mean, it's not real. I didn't have a lid. How was I going to cover it? Use a fucking paper towel. Are you that? How the fuck did you get hired here? Like, you're really lowering my opinion of this place. The fact that you got through and I also got through. I no longer think of that as an achievement because you can't fucking come up with a way to cover a fucking bowl of smelly fucking subcontinent of Asia shit. And now every time I microwave oatmeal, I get accused of it being curry. Yes, I mentioned that before. I microwave oatmeal and the stickler of the office. Very cool. You know, very cool, does a lot of work and all that. But she thinks that I was eating fucking curry and smelling up the entire place. But it was someone who uncovered their fucking dish and microwaved it. So that's why I don't use it anymore. I eat all my shit cold. I'll bring in leftovers, old steak, whatever, and eat it fucking cold just so I don't have to have a tinge of delicious food and then overwhelming Indian spice flavor. I can't do that. Don't fucking need it. There's so much wrong with fucking with the way food is handled at your office that it almost makes complaining about like restaurants being frustrating to deal with like not worth mentioning. You're there's so much more frustration with bringing food and eating food and preparing it at an office than there is at the sleaziest of fucking diners. I am more angry at the behavior people take with the fridge, the fucking cabinets, and the goddamn microwave at a fucking office. You put your lunch bag, your little fucking ShopRite bag, Home Depot plastic bag with the receipt in it. Like someone's rifling through it. Like, oh, what were you caulking last weekend? What are you talking about? I just saw a receipt. You're looking through my fucking food. Now I would think, oh, maybe they're curious as to what's in the bag. They just want to see how I eat or nourish myself. And that would be very, very altruistic. But the truth is, everybody is a fucking goddamn scavenger that can't wait to lay into somebody else's fucking lunch. This one woman at work never brings any food in. Never brings any food in, yet I see her eating constantly. Constantly. She grazes, is what they like to call it. She'll always have a little snack, but she'll never bring anything in. She lives across the fucking street of the place. Doesn't have a commute. Can fucking skip and fucking whistle while holding a sandwich. I'm sure she's able to, but she never does. She could run home, eat lunch, and come back, but she's always eating somebody else's fucking food.
I just saw these there. Nobody was touching them.
Yeah, because they're at their desk thinking about the shit they're going to fucking eat. How about that? And then, but then they get there and they're like, oh, they're gone. They're gone. My chips are gone.
I just saw that Diet Coke can in there. I just figured it was fair game.
So then you have to resort to writing your name on shit. Like, you know you don't work with fucking adults when you have to write your name on a fucking post-it and put it on the shit you planned on eating that day. You know that. I mean, I've complained about the fucking the microwave and the fridge. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, if people were just fucking adults and were accountable for what they did, it wouldn't be as infuriating. I would happily use a disgusting microwave if somebody would just have the fucking guts to say, yeah, you know what? I didn't cover my fucking plate, and now it smells every time the microwave's used. They don't even have to finish that off with a fucking sorry. If they just said it and didn't just nod and go, yeah, I know, what is that? Every time I brought it up to somebody. Like, hey, do you know why the microwave smells every time it's used? Yeah, I know. What is that? One of you people did it. Somebody fucking did, but they all have the same little fucking reaction.
I know. What is that?
Hey, did anybody happen to eat my fucking sub that I brought here from Quick Check in Mount Arlington on the way here? Did anybody happen to get my fucking Big Bacon Classic or my Baconator that I was granted from some prank call to a Wendy's in Parsippany? Like, very specific places that you have no business being in. Does anybody? Have you seen it?
No, I didn't.
As you have a crumpled up wrapper in your fucking garbage. Yeah, Goatweed is saying, and everybody used to say that too, like, I don't know, did you bring in a sub? Did you bring it? No, I'm asking you, have you seen the fucking sub I brought in? And your response is, did you bring one in? Oh, yeah, you know what? I guess I fucking didn't. It's just everybody is conditioned, when they're in an office environment, they're conditioned to just deflect at all times with anything. Like, it doesn't matter if you said, yeah, you know what? I ate your fucking sub. Sorry. I ate your sub. Oh. Well, please don't eat my sub next time. And then if next time the sub's gone, you go to that guy right away. And you say, hey, you ate my sub again. He's like, yeah, I ate your sub. And then you say, hey, listen, you eat my fucking sub again, we're going to have fucking problems. We're going to have to go out in the parking lot in front of a window the boss can't see out of and fucking scrap. Because you ate my fucking tomato-only Italian sub. Okay? You, like, when you don't get answers like that, when someone's not willing to just stand by and say, yeah, I'm stealing your food. When it's like, yeah, I don't know. It seems to just disappear. When someone uses the word fucking disappear or fucking even says the word goblins, like, ah, it's one of the office goblins. There's a gremlin in the fridge. Yeah. There's a fucking imaginary wood nymph that eats all the fucking food. And definitely not somebody here that's just fucking stealing. You start ordering shit that no one would want to eat. Just so it'll be there. You start ordering, like, the liverwurst and relish subs. Just so that you know, someone might take a bite out of half of it. And then, like, the other half will be there. So, yeah, I mean, it's worth it because those subs are usually cheaper anyway, right? I mean, they're not pushing a lot of fucking liverwurst. They're not doing that. I mean, and this can't be common. This can't be. This has to be common, is what I wanted to say. I said it can't be because I'm such a negative fuck. I have to open up a thought with negativity, and even when positivity comes out, it still has to be negative. It has to be a common thing because people in the chat here, Keith Fu and Goatweed, are kind of feeling the pain. They probably work in an office environment, and so and that same fucking that politics. That interaction, when you have shitty people, it just makes it misery. It makes you live in fucking misery. And I gotta say, I don't have to put up with it. Really, I don't really have to put up with any of it. The smell coming out of the fucking plumbing. Like, by the way, I work in an office that's right next to the entrance of the place, and coincidentally enough, right across from the bathrooms. So whenever the old ancient plumbing decides to just collect shit and piss and then fire the odor back up into the place, I get blamed for this stench. People walk by my fucking place and go with wrinkled fucking furrowed faces, furrowed brows and scrunched noses going, what does it smell? And I just point to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, I get it. Oh, I get it. Probably should lay off the Indian food. And that's probably what I hate most about people. They latch onto these questions, and they ask you them over and over again. Like, people that work in the building know the plumbing sucks. So somebody fucked up when they installed the kitchen or the new toilet the great fucking new toilet that we got. Someone fucked up, and a drain pipe is not set up correctly. I don't know, but fumes are backing up into the place. Everybody that works here knows that. But never fails. Someone will come by and go, "What's that smell?" And ask me, as if I could be that fucking smelly to fill up an entire fucking office with ass stench. I could take out maybe one or two cubes, okay? I know I have my own office, okay? But I could fill up a couple cubes. I can't fill up an entire fucking floor. I'm sorry. You have to eventually realize that it's the same fucking thing that's happening over and fucking over again. Figure it out. And so now what happens is, since we've had the plumbing guy there, he basically just scratches his fucking head. So I don't know. It's not happening now. Not happening now. I don't know what to do. And he does nothing. So this thing happens over and over and over again. One of the ladies that works at our place just decides to put Pine Sol down the fucking drain to counteract the fucking sewage smell. It's not even like a fart or a dainty stale piss. It smells like when you're playing in a big yard and you see a concrete disc and a hole. That's what it smells like. It smells like an open fucking sewer. And it's disgusting. And so that now they've decided to put an entire bottle of Pine Sol down the fucking drain. So we can smell a shitty forest. Just lovely. It's fucking, it's vomit inducing. At its very edge, it's fucking vomit inducing. And I'm right in the goddamn thing. I just leave. I say, I can't work in this shit. So I just leave. Sometimes I just sit in my car. I go and I sit in my fucking car and I wait for like 10 minutes. And then I go. And once it's settled, you know, I go back to work. And I don't, and that by doing that, I don't have to deal with the, "Something smells bad. What's that smell?" I don't have to hear that. Well, I mean, I don't have to hear it for too much longer either. Because I'm not going to be working at this company anymore. I've been working at this place since I was in college, part-time, while I was in college, working there as a software developer. And once I got out, I worked full-time. I've been there ever since. And I got some stuff happened with the company, let's just say. And the company was pretty successful, due in large part to the quality of the software that the company is using. And so, a certain little outfit in a certain goddamn state fucking bought part of the company, goddammit! And so, a couple years after the purchase, no, ICU2 has not purchased part of the company I work for. Although they could. I think they just want to stick on their bread and butter of trivia chat rooms and fucking unenthused faces with occasional tits. I gotta say, when I'm on ICU2, that is the most sobering notion, that people who laugh on the internet are never really laughing. People who type haha never fucking ever laugh out loud. And I learned that from ICU2. It shows your little face right next to the text you type, so you'll see a fucking stone face. It looks like a fucking mugshot. It looks like I'm staring at one of the walls in the post office, and I'm just seeing a string of random mismatched A's and H's and smileys and fucking just... The thing is now, you just randomly mash your fucking keys down like your fingers fell off. And you didn't know they fell off, so you went to type, and all you have is a little fucking hamburger patty stump. So the company in Texas purchased a significant interest in the company, a share of the company. And now it's been made, I've been made aware that the company that I'm working for, the office I'm working for, is moving to Texas. And despite being offered a really, really, really good package to go, I've decided that I'm not going. I'm going to stay here. And I pictured myself, you know, with whatever they were going to give me, which would have been great. Would have been fucking really, really good. I pictured myself with a huge clip of land, a fucking one of those like cattle fences, because like you can't fucking maintain the yard, so you have to install like one of these fucking electric fences that's just consisted of wire with a fucking current and random posts and shit just going around the whole property. And I picture it, now you have to say property. And I'm like, that could be really good. That could be nice. That could be great. Nice big house on a clip of land and, you know, live in a different place. That could be really good. And then a few things hit me like, oh, well, I'm going to have half of the country between everything I know and give a shit about. I mean, no disrespect to Walter Sobchak and his fine family. But, I mean, you guys are not enough to sway me to move that far away from everything. As great as you guys are. The other thing is, do I want to live in a place where the only voice I'm going to hear is a Southern accent? And you can tell me all day long, like, oh, a lot of these people are not originally from here. Yeah, then why is it that everybody has a little bit of that? Why is it that everybody there has that, even if they're originally from fucking Wisconsin? Why is it that that accent just fucking takes you over? Bigwell, listen, no disrespect. You're in Kansas, though, okay, right? You know? Texas is a big fucking state. You don't know where. Just pretend I'm going to Corpus Christi for you, and I'm going to fucking the goddamn panhandle for Clayton. I couldn't do it. So, as appealing as everything would be, I decided as soon as I made the association, it's not for me, I started looking for a job. And that meant interviewing, going out on interviews. Now, I haven't really done much of this. As I've been at my current job since college. So interviews are a little bit of an interesting thing. And I've learned that not many people deviate from the same questions. I've learned that interviews are typically just questions like this show, basically. They're like, oh, shit, at 9 o'clock we got to do a podcast? Okay, whatever. 8:50. Yep, we're going to talk about this, and oh shit. Well, fuck it. We'll just wing it then. That's how every interview goes that I've ever been on. I know that some people are better at it, whatever. But I actually had, during an interview, someone came with a printed list of questions. And they said, I didn't really prepare for this, so I printed some questions out from the internet. I really don't know what any of these really mean, so I'm just going to pick some. You're at it. And like, they put their reading glasses on and started reading from the page. So, like, it's never more obvious that someone's reading than when they put those glasses that are on a chain up on their face. It's not reading. You're at a dinner with clients. You order a steak, medium rare. It comes back well done. What do? Glasses off. And I said... And I just started pulling from, like, old material Frank and I did. Because, like, honestly, if you're not going to prepare, why should I, you know, fucking prepare? Why should I have a nice answer? I basically told the guy that the whole, like, additional services thing. I said, like, listen, I have a policy. I never send anything back. Like, oh, no, well, why wouldn't you? Well, I'm afraid that they're going to smear things on my food. That's what I said. I actually said, I'm afraid they're going to smear things on my food. So, I found a way in an interview setting to insinuate that I am afraid of jizz being smeared on food I'm about to eat. And they loved the answer. I was told by somebody at another interview that I went on, told me, like, we don't ask really bad questions. Like, I mean, someone asked me once, like, if you could be any TV character, who would you be? And I'm like, that's the fucking awesome question. Like, where are you going to be in 5 years will help neither you nor me. Because if I can lie and say whatever I think you want to say, or I can be honest and say what I'm really feeling. But what TV character do you think I want to be? Fuck, now let's talk goddamn sitcoms here. You want to go 80s? Well, then we're talking Nick from fucking Family Ties. That's who I want to be. I want to be someone who everybody likes, but the tight asses hate. And I make shitty art, and I don't know how to talk well. And my last name's Valentine in real life. For the people asking, it's for a developer position, a software developer. I make software, okay? I'm not just going to fucking ditch that career to learn how to, I don't know, saute a fucking chicken liver, you know? I'm going to stick in my fucking, my career path. I'm now made aware that this guy wasn't even listening. He was talking to somebody else in the chat room, and I now feel like an asshole for answering him like an asshole. But, you know, job interviews, so I had to go and buy nicer clothing. I spent my entire tenure at this company wearing an untucked shirt, sneakers, and jeans every fucking day. And gotta admit, that's pretty nice. But a lot of people, a lot of companies aren't like that. Some are. When you do software development, they don't really give a fuck. A lot of people don't give a shit. But when you work in a financial institute and you make software for them, they want you to be presentable. They want you to be presentable and look the part. And I understand that business casual, whatever. That's completely fine. That's the run of the mill, the norm. And I was told at one place, so there's a bit of a dress code. I'm like, oh, okay, like business casual. The upper end of business casual, I'd say. Like, well, what exactly does that, the upper end of business casual, mean? Suit pants, button down, tucked in, no polos, blazer optional. And I said, well, why so dressed up if, you know, it's just software development? And they said, well, yeah, it's true. We are in our own other area. And, you know, they're not as strict with the dress. Like, you don't have to wear a tie. Some, you know, you don't have to wear a tie. Like, and I said, you never said anything about a fucking tie first. So now, like, why is it such a, why is it like handing me an extra popsicle when you say I don't have to wear a fucking tie? Because that's the goddamn norms. That is the norms. Please conform to norms. No, that's the norm for them, wearing a tie. And I said, why so stiff? And they go, well, you know, the boss prides himself on wearing a suit every day. And I said, oh, so he's like one of those old school guys with like a fucking whiskey bar behind his diagonally positioned desk. She goes, yeah, he has that, and his desk has a private office is a private bathroom. He's got a massager chair. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. The guy watched like 3 episodes of Mad Men. Now he thinks it's got to be reverted back. 20 years of fucking progress in not wearing fucking suits has to be undone by some fucking asshole with a fucking romantic view of how things used to be. I would love to just wear a t-shirt and fucking jeans and sneakers and just show up and just fucking do the work. I'd love to. Granted, I understand that, you know, you have to have, keep up appearances in some cases. I understand that. But I think the ideal is to wear a fucking t-shirt, jeans, and sneakers every fucking day. If you're going to tell me a suit, a fucking suit, and I'm still tucked away in the back. I'm never seeing anybody. And this is just to placate your desire to have, like, some fucking IBM environment, and you're no IBM. Like, your team is literally four people that you just fucking threw in a fucking room that used to be... I'm getting way too in-depth with this place. So I basically told them no when I found out the dress code. I told them fucking no. And, yeah, so I found a place, and I start there. And that means I start there in 2 weeks, which means I had to give notice. I am currently on my 2 weeks notice, my current job, and nothing could be fucking better than being in that 2 week notice period. Because on you're at a point where you could say, fucking fire me. I don't give a shit. Like, you can actually have that fucking... that fantasy moment where they can ask you to do something and you can just say, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. And then they'll go, well, we'd really, and I'd really appreciate if you'd fucking fire me. Just fucking fire me. See if I give a shit. Take me out of your fucking equation. Fire me. It's really freeing. And, I don't think that they were really anticipating me saying no to moving to Texas. I really don't think that they were, because it doesn't seem like they have a plan to replace their entire software department, which is me. I maintain, build their software. They don't have a fucking plan to... What the fuck are you doing? Can you not do that? I just hear fucking nails being raked across the fucking rug. And he's circling, which means he's probably going to shit soon. But, so I got an email from, you know, the headquarters down in Texas. Got an email from them after they found out. And it's from the CTO, the Chief Technological Officer. The guy who basically oversees everything for the entire company. Got an email from the guy. And I'll do, and I, every time I read his emails, I hear it in his voice. Like, you ever do that when you get an email from somebody and you know, you see their name, so now you're reading like a fucking sitcom. whenever they show a text, it always shows their voice in a dreamy, echoey fucking thing. Ken, very upset, saddened to see you go, but congratulations nonetheless. Just wanted to hook up with you for a second on Friday. Maybe go over a few things. As I will be flying up to New Jersey next week on your last week, to spend a few days to absorb as much as I can. I'm interested in detail. I want as much procedural documentation, system detail. Structure details as I can get from you. Obviously, I'll need a lot of your time. Thank you very much. Call me on Friday. Like, I am now in a position. I'm not a bridge burner. But if I were, I could honestly tell this fucking dude, no. He's fucking flying up here to get everything I know in the span of 2 to 3 days, Ken. And this is the guy that when the company was being shopped around and we were just told that they were visitors that are interested in our systems and our operation. Visitors. This is the guy that they showed some of the utilities I built, which saved like a ton of time. And he sat there in front of the projector, really wide-eyed and excited. And when they turned him off, he just stayed there, like, sitting. And he goes, now, you got to understand me. You got to excuse me. I'm from Texas. But that's cool shit. I love that everybody from Texas feels the need to apologize for being from Texas. You got to understand, I'm from Texas. I'm several degrees south of here. So... let me just behave in a way that is completely unworldly. And you'll understand why. Clayton, I'm sorry. Listen. But, I mean, I listen to your show, and it's every other dumb reference is, hey, we gotta replace the fucking gabagool with the good you got, hey. So now every dumb thing I do is, well, goddamn, that weed ain't gonna thresh itself, boy. So now you understand where we're both at. Take your hatred of the North and just see how much it is hatred rather than just maybe comical observation. And apply that to my opinion of the South. No disrespect. No disrespect whatsoever. I just want to make that clearly known, as he is a mountain of a man who occasionally travels to this location. So, yeah, I now have the CTO flying up, ready to take copious notes to find out exactly how somebody could do my job, which consists of 8 years of acquired knowledge and thought and planning and structure. He's going to pick it up in 3 days. If I'm willing. And I'll probably do it because I'm not a bridge burner. But this is the time where I wish I could just be that guy to say, fuck it. Fuck it! You want to know what to do, boy? You know what I did to get that shit together, boy? I did shit, motherfucker! You! I don't know why I always think that Southerners just scream. You! Anyway, I think that'll about do it for this episode of the DJ Neustyle Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Go to DJNeustyleShow.com. Download everything that we've ever done. Subscribe. And check us out. Tell your friends. Tweet. Go to the Facebook fan page. Facebook.com/TheDJNeustyleShow. Comment. Subscribe. Whatever other verb. You know, maybe touch yourself a little bit. Give yourself a little post-Valentine's Day fucking diddle. And say thanks for the show.